And now, it's time for the talk of the Northwest. The 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. It's 4 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 20th of May. And you're very welcome along to the programme. We have all the usual features for you on a Tuesday. Community Garda information coming up after 10. That and much more besides. And also an awful lot of content live here from the Carndonagh Daycare Services. They have been restored. They've been up and running for some time now, the last number of weeks. And today's the official opening of those services. And we are in beautiful Carndonagh and the weather is glorious. And you're all being invited, if you're in and around the area, to come down. We are live here, of course, from now onwards. But the official opening is at 10:30. And these are, and we'll hear about this in a few moments, these are fantastic services for the people of Carndonagh and the surrounding areas. And the local committee and others have fought really, really hard to have them restored 5 years ago. They were lost because of, or during COVID at least, and it took a battle to get them back. So if you want to, I suppose, support all those that fought hard for these services, get on down here for the official opening at 10:30. As I say, we've got loads of people to chat to, both here and joining us remotely as well. We want you involved in the conversation throughout the course of this morning. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25,000, or you can give us a call on 0749 125,000. It's business as usual in that regard. Or if you want to email, it's comments@highlandradio.com. And I should say as well too, a big thanks to Michaela, who stood in for me yesterday as I extended the weekend with bits and bobs that I had to do. All right, let's have a quick run through the newspapers this morning. We'll start with the Irish Times, and Trump praises spirit of peace talks call with Putin, though on the face of it, not a great deal has been achieved, I would guess. Well, Donald Trump has expressed the belief following a phone call with Vladimir Putin that Russia will immediately start negotiations towards a ceasefire and, more importantly, an end to the war in Ukraine. The US president also spoke to Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky before and after his two-hour dialogue with Mr. Putin yesterday. While Mr. Trump was optimistic about the conversation and praised the tone and spirit, no definitive breakthrough was achieved, nor did Russia accede to the 30-day ceasefire proposed by the US. So I think Donald Trump didn't quite achieve what he was anticipating to achieve, but he'll play it as a win. And the US has sort of said, if you know, we're going to pull out in terms of being brokers and also supportive of Ukraine if there isn't progress in this regard, or in regards peace. Also on the front of this paper today, the announcement of a commitment by the EU and UK to work towards a deal that would remove most checks on agri-food products moving between Britain and the North has been hailed as a good day for Northern Ireland. Speaking following the announcement by British Prime Minister Keir Starmer and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen yesterday, Taoiseach Simon Harris said it was very important that the unique circumstances of Northern Ireland be taken into account, and that has been done. So you kind of would wonder what was Brexit all about, really, because the UK have a very close alignment now with the EU. Migration hasn't gone down for them, or immigration. So you wonder what was Brexit all about. But anyway, reading on here, a broad-based SPS, sanitary and photosanitary agreement, would bring significant benefits for Northern Ireland businesses and consumers and for the efficient operation of the Windsor framework, he said. But it perhaps isn't all good news. Fishing is an industry we're very heavily reliant on in this county, particularly, but not exclusively, of course. And the Irish Daily Mail reports that the government is quietly pleased with the deal brokered between the EU and the UK in relation to fisheries, a government minister has said. The EU and the UK yesterday struck a deal covering a range of issues, including fishing rights, as I mentioned. Well, as part of the deal, the status quo was retained, and fishing rights between the two sides that was originally agreed in 2019 as part of the Trade and Cooperation Agreement when the UK left the EU. Under the agreement, 40% of the value of quotas transferred to the UK came from Ireland alone. However, the Irish Fish Producers Organisation criticised the deal, saying the original deal, which has now been rolled over until 2038, had hit the Irish fishing sector particularly hard. And we'll be speaking to reps from the fishing industry in relation to that. They weren't happy with the deal brokered in 2019, and now that's been extended towards the end of the 30s, so we're kind of locked into that. I think the story garnering most interest closer to home is the ongoing investigation into the death of Michael Gaine. The suspect for the murder of farmer Michael Gaine is a free man this morning after he was released from Garda custody without charge last night. The man, who is in his 50s, was driven away from Killarney Garda station in County Kerry in the back of an SUV at around 10:40 last night following his release. Garda will now prepare a file for the DPP. Sources say it could be several months before the office of the DPP makes a decision on whether the suspect should be charged or told he will not be prosecuted. Gardaí had questioned the man for 24 hours following his arrest on Sunday over the murder of Mr. Gaine, 56, who disappeared from his farm outside Kenmare on March 20th. Now, notwithstanding the terrible loss of Mr. Gaine's life and the devastation I'm sure his family have been feeling and will continue to feel, there are certainly question marks over the investigation now and why such an obvious place wasn't originally searched, or if it was, how his remains then came to be there and how they came to be discovered as well. It's a horrendous story in that regard. Back to international affairs in the Sun this morning. And Israel's military finally allowed five UN trucks carrying humanitarian aid into besieged Gaza, after a blockade of nearly 3 months. Now, there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people who are being starved to death and corralled in Gaza. And I'll tell you right now, five lorry loads is nothing. And even if it were something, it still is yet to be distributed. The United Nations called it a welcome development, but insisted more aid is needed. And last night, foreign ministers from a string of European countries called for more aid to be allowed into Gaza. And quite interestingly, someone associated with the UN referred to genocide, which is the first time that has happened, and upset the Israelis, who are refusing to engage with that diplomat until such time as he backtracks on that. News out of the United States yesterday too, and this is in the Irish Daily Mirror. Heartfelt best wishes have been sent to former US President Joe Biden and his family in Ireland following his cancer diagnosis. Mr. Biden, 82, has prostate cancer, which has spread to his bones, and last night expressed his gratitude for the support that has poured in globally, including from his ancestral home land in County Mayo. Among those to issue public declarations of support yesterday were high-ranking Mayo politicians who had pivotal roles during Mr. Biden's historic visits to Ireland. And I mean, you can't help but imagining, hopefully the prognosis is good for Mr. Biden, but you can't help but imagining that perhaps they knew about this cancer before now, and maybe that was the reason why he stepped out of the race to begin with, because, of course, he would be under intense medical scrutiny. His wife's a doctor, for crying out loud. But either way, we wish him all the best. You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. Coming up, we'll have a chat with Magella O'Donnell as we head towards a big weekend in Donegal. It is Relay for Life. There's an awful lot going on, and it looks like the weather might be good for the weekend as well, so hopefully they have a huge turnout, and maybe we'll do our bit to assist with that with our chat with Magella a little later on. But shall we go back a couple of years now? I think it's to October 2023 when the issue of the closure of the Carndonagh daycare services was platformed on this show. Let's remind ourselves of that conversation back then.
Father, for example, I would have been explaining to him that, Dad, listen, it's not open in the summer of 2021, but it'll be available after Christmas. That never happened, Gray. We're 4 years on and we still don't have a daycare centre reopened in Carndonagh Community Hospital. What that service provided was, it was sort of first-level medical intervention, which took pressure off the GP service, which in turn takes pressure off the hospital service, and which in turn takes pressure off the nursing home service. So having that, you know, sort of preventive maintenance almost in place was fantastic. And, you know, what I would say to you is, you know, the local GP service wrote a letter to the HSE back last autumn, and they said, you know, they have over 3,000 patients, of which 1,000 are aged over 60. And what they said was that, unfortunately, since the closure of the daycare service, they have watched many older patients become more helpless and isolated. And they said that they've witnessed firsthand how this has impacted not only the older patients, but also their carers who suffer as a result of the service. So they wrote a very eloquent letter, which we will be also handing over to Mary Butler next Friday by way of educating her on how this has affected the people locally.
Okay, Tony Doherty, chairperson of the Restoration of Carndonagh Daycare Services Committee. Good morning, welcome into our studio. Well, thank you for welcoming us into your place. How are you keeping?
Well, you're all very welcome, first of all, Greg, to you and your team, to sunny Carndonagh on this fantastic Tuesday morning when we're here to celebrate the reopening of daycare services in Carndonagh. It's a long time in the coming, but today is a day. It's all about celebration, and we're just all so delighted here in the community to have Highland Radio here, and to have the official opening of the daycare services. And also like to thank the HSE for being here. And I know Frank Morrison sitting beside me is here this morning, made the long journey up from Sligo to be here this morning with us. And I think that shows the commitment from the HSE towards this service. And I'd just like to thank Frank for making the trip this morning, and also for all the nurses and all the staff that make this service happen and have done so over the last 6 weeks. And remember, Greg, this is a trial. We spoke on the radio probably about 8 weeks ago where it was said that there was going to be a trial. We used that crude term. We said, you know, use it or lose it. And we encourage people to come to the service. And I'm delighted to say this morning that, you know, we've had over 20 people on the 2 days that it's open, each day on the Mondays and Tuesdays when it's been open. So we're halfway through that trial period now, and we're hoping that, you know, it can be extended. But certainly to us, Michael, at Hanover, and it's been a great start.
I'll come back to you in a moment. You mentioned Frank Morrison, head of older persons services with the HSE. You know, Frank, good morning to you, by the
way.
It's good to have you with us. And, you know, we have to obviously highlight where there are deficits, but we've come here to celebrate where the right thing is done, and that's what's happened here. Talk to me about your role in returning these services.
I suppose the importance of day service can't be underestimated. We, as a health service, normally provide home support. We provide private nursing home care, community hospital care. But the one key component is that of a day service. And unfortunately, in a number of our facilities, as a post-COVID, because of space, because of circulation, because of IPC, we had to do some changes. And it has been a delay up here in Carndonagh. We did an interim move to another facility. But today is, as Tony says, and I want to thank him for his thanks, it is a really good opportunity here for the people of Carndonagh, the older persons, to have a day service right in the centre of the town. And staff and the community services and the committee are doing a good job.
You heard Tony reference there the fact that, you know, we're in a trial period here. That is the not to put any dark clouds over the situation, right? But, I mean, we've got this far. We don't want to lose this again. You've heard from Tony there about the positive uptake so far. And I think that's only going to grow. Even shows like this might get another five people, you know, that sort of a way. So what's the situation there?
From feedback from both the committee and our own staff here, and I think I met one or two of our people who attend, everybody's enjoying it. And naturally enough, anything new you don't say, well, it's here for life. But from feedback I've got, it'll be gone beyond, well beyond a pilot. That this is just the beginning of a new. The numbers will grow. We'll keep an eye on the number of days, what we can do as well. And so it's definitely a positive future. We're not going back on it.
So are we now still in a three-month trial period?
No. I would say that we're, even though we're only halfway through a three-month period, we're out of it, and it will be a continuum. It won't be stopping after this.
Well, Tony, that's encouraging.
Well, that's just fantastic news. You know, on top of the good weather and on top of all the Highland Radio being here this morning and the success over the last 6 weeks, that's just absolutely fantastic news to know that the service is going to be extended, you know, out from that and long term. And again, Frank, thanks very much to you and the staff and the HSE for making that all that happen. You know, back, Greg, in 2019, whenever the service was last with us, if you like, 56 different people used the service at Carindonagh Community Hospital, and that was over 3,100 visits to the service. And we estimate at the moment that, you know, there's probably been 40 people that have come in and out of this over the last 6 weeks. And based on the 2 days per week, that's about 2,000 visits. So, you know, we believe that there's more, you know, there's more out there, as you said, maybe four or five more people and whatever, right? But that's 2,000 visits per annum that we're currently versus over 3,000. Mm. And, of course, since 2019, we know that the population of Carindonagh and the surrounding areas increased probably by 40 or 50%.
But it takes a while because these are the type of services that, well, firstly, you know, you come of age for them, but also, two, maybe you need someone close to you to advocate, to sort of say, do you know what, here's a fantastic service, do you want to call down? You know, there's a lot of variables, so it's an organic growth, isn't it? So, you know, I think you're doing great in terms of numbers, but I think as, you know, the word gets about, you know, it'll continue to go from strength to strength, Tony.
I mean, there was one lady that I happened to meet on the way out of here one of the days, and she was getting back to her car, and she said, this has been the best day in my life for years. I mean, when you hear that, your knees just go weak, you know, that, you know, we're providing that level of a service. You know, the piece you played earlier on about the isolation, coming out of COVID, it's been a difficult time for people. And to have, you know, the biggest thing in all of this, Greg, is friends, you know, the table's here in front of us and people are going to start coming in very shortly, is meeting your old friends, having a cup of tea, having a laugh, finding out what's going on in the community. Of course, there's also a level of kind of preventive medicine that's going on there, if you like, where people
pick
are, you know, early
yeah.
intervention of seeing how people
beings,
are.
You know, and that doesn't end. You know, we are social beings. And I think even, in fact, the socialising and integration becomes more important. You know, when you stop working, maybe you lose a partner, maybe your older children now have gone to Australia or are working down the country. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to socialise, we need to mix, and I think that need outside of sort of immediate friendships and families gets greater as you get older.
Yeah, it definitely does. And you know, the other thing is, you know, that you know, one of the things that we want to remember here today is, you know, the service had been gone for 5 years, and there's an awful lot of people who we've lost in that time, and that's just the nature of the service and the nature of getting old. And we want to remember all those people that we've lost over the last 5 years here in Carindonagh and North Inishowen, but also across all the communities in Donegal and indeed the North West. So we kind of, today's the day as well, just to pause and to reflect about all of that, but also just to kind of add to the point that you're talking about the importance of the service and getting people out here, because, you know, it's time is of the essence, and it's within all our gift to get those people out.
So, Frank, just to go back to what you've said, because it's quite significant, and it's great to get it on the record as well. As far as you're concerned, things are going really, really well. The feedback from the staff and the service users and providers is going well. Mm. The three-month trial period, nothing's indefinite, right, but the three-month trial period is somewhat off the table now. And did you hint at maybe exploring extending the services. We're at 2 days currently. You know, what's the KPI for maybe bumping it up, or what possibly could be in the pipeline?
Well, certainly we'll work with the providers of the building, what the availability is. The committee has worked very hard with us to get that, and it is really good. I think today's show, today's opening, word of mouth, that promotion of the service, it has to go to a really good place. And you mentioned, that whole thing of social isolation, good mental health, good physical health, meeting people, meeting new friends. We don't stop meeting friends at 60, 65. So I think the whole thing will build. And word of mouth is the best seller. Mm-hmm. And once that gets round, and the locality, and I've met several people here who really love enjoying it. That's only this morning. So, and long may it last. So yep. We're well okay. Beyond 3 months.
So Frank's going to be here all morning. Get down here, folks, especially for the official opening at 10:30. He's a lovely chap. But there are great challenges outside of the Carndonagh area across the northwest. You know, if you look at Letterkenny University Hospital, of the Model 3 hospitals, I believe it has the oldest... older person demographic, and that's putting a strain on acute services. It's putting pressure on the need for step-down facilities, home care packages, services like these. You know, fantastic. We're living longer, right? We're getting older, but we're oversubscribed almost compared to other areas in this part of the world. As head of older person services, you know, how cognizant are of you of that, and how much planning is being put into play for what we know is coming?
Okay.
I hope that's not the boss now saying, don't answer that question.
It is. But apart from that, I actually think we've done an awful lot of work in Donegal, and all the outlying community hospitals from Letterkenny. They've all been absolutely refurbed. They've all been brought up to the levels that the regulator requires. There's been massive investment, Killybegs, Donegal Town, Ramelton, and more recently up the road we have Buncrana, which is due to get a full refurb. Carndonagh has had a refurb, as has Falkara. I think planning ahead, we have been planning ahead, and currently there's a 110-bed built, where the minister was down 2 weeks ago. That is going to be a fantastic facility.
That's really up from the hospital.
Absolutely, it's across the road, and then that will provide both short-term care, long-term care, and that's a massive development. I've pushed for developments for older person services, not just in Donegal. We have another new build in Carrick and Shannon, Leitrim. Now, not that you want to know too much about that here.
It's all the northwest. We are, and
then there's a further, where I also cover Cavan Monaghan, we have on the capital plan another 80 bed. So from a service management point of view,
Ballyshannon as well, there was a significant
absolutely Ballyshannon is just yeah. and we're nearly at our last ward of opening, so we're still employing new staff.
That's excellent. Going forward, because you know, if we want to be cared for in the community, right, we want to be cared for closer to home.
Correct.
You know, we've seen the issues in Lifford, at St. Joseph's as well, and it sort of being a de facto step down from Letterkenny University Hospital and all of that, right? And of course, those beds are to be welcomed in Letterkenny, where the population centre is there. Can we realistically expect going forward, do you think, to get that type of care as close as possible to our own community? Do you think that's going to be realistic as we move forward? I'm talking maybe 5, 10, 15 years.
Sure. My goal is that the person who requires care gets care as close to home as possible. That's the ultimate goal. I don't think we'll ever reach everybody happy with everything, right? But we have our beds, we have our developments, we have our training of staff. We also have, Donegal has one of the highest, it has the highest proportion of My Home Help. It has 1.4 million hours. And for roughly about 2,000, just over 2,000 people. But even with that, and that's operating according to the National Service Plan that we've got, there will be pressures on the system, which is unfortunate, but we certainly try. And I have to commend the staff, the service managers, all the people around that really try hard to make sure that the person receives the care at home as much as possible. I don't like over-reliance on hospitals, personally. Mm-hmm. And my goal
But the relationship between some of the service you provide and the hospitals is essential.
It's huge.
It's so big.
Like even we have our integrated care programme for older persons, which is a specialist service. We have the chronic disease programme. The chronic disease programme, which is just across the road from Letterkenny, that does cardiology, respiratory and diabetes. They're taking people from the community directly without going into the acute service. So they're getting their cardiac testing done, their respiratory testing, spirometry, etc. All would have been reliant going into the acute building. That's It's across the road. Mm-hmm. It's in the vicinity. But like that's my goal in life. It's to get those chronic diseases working, the ICPOPs working, and even day services, right? Day services, everything outside of the acute hospital to make sure that the older person stays at home.
Yeah, because the more active you are, the more engaged you are, the less likely you are. In terms of, I'm not sure if it's under your control, home care packages, home help hours.
Home help hours, what?
Yeah, okay, right. Sure. We had a bit of an issue where people were being told, look, we've no more, the money's been spent. And effectively, and this sounds crass, but they were being told, unfortunately, someone in your area is going to have to pass away before, you know, you get the package that you need. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that there are consultants in Letterkenny University Hospital very close to kicking up a stink because they can't get people out of beds.
Okay.
That will probably happen in the next week or two. Where are we at in relation to that? And is it a case that money ran out? Can it be like that?
We're operating at what we've got. Our money is what we've got. And we're operating in line with our the home help hours that we have for the year. We're on target. And as again, 1.4 million hours for 2,000 people is huge. I just checked the list this morning on LUH, and there was 5 people on the DTAC list for home support. That flexes. It's cyclical. It goes up and down. Mm. Nobody's waiting on anybody to die. You have to be honest about that. We try our best.
As I said, it's a crass way of putting it, but unfortunately, that's how people relate it to us.
Yeah, but the reality is we're working within our services. Donegal has a higher proportion of the home help hours than both Sligo or Cavan Monaghan, and we'll continue to push that.
When's the budget reloaded?
It would be towards the end of the year, our service plan. Just to give a demonstration, our hours this year are roughly 2.4 to 2.6 million hours. Mm. 3 years ago, it was 1.7 million for total. We've gone up by 700,000 to 800,000 hours. We keep pushing. I keep pushing. The service keeps pushing. One final question
in relation to this. Is there, depending on which area you are in, a different way of delivering it? So if you're in Dublin, right, the metropolitan, you get hours or packages more quickly. And I've been told, or I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that a lot of that's being sourced privately.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we operating a different model up here, or are we operating a different model up here?
There's two areas of the country that have CHO6 and CHO9, so Dublin and North Dublin. They have operated on the private market. We have employed people. We have 82% of the home help in Donegal is delivered. Right. Absolutely. We have roughly, in home help, we have between 800 and 950 publicly employed employees, and I believe that that's very good for the community. I think the hours will continue to increase. I think that when theoretically the over 60s is the greatest growing age group at present.
Yeah.
That's going to put massive pressures on, and I know that the only solution is that the department, the government, as they have done, there has been a huge investment. They will continue to invest. Mm. I've already explained where we've put our beds in, and I think we've planned for the future. We're not the worst. We have, when you see those new developments and then our staff being trained up and all the teams outside to support those, I think we're thinking beyond the box, and hopefully we'll be able to deal with the kind of the bigger numbers.
Do you have any idea off the top of your head in Donegal how many home help hours or packages were short?
The latest, just reviewed this, we had 354 people waiting for service.
Yeah, which is a lot of people.
There's 250 new, and then roughly 100 that's looking for additional, which we work through.
Okay. But this is outside of you're working within your budgets.
We're working within our budget. We're working within our service plan, but we will continue to push for it.
Right. Okay. Thanks for that.
Okay.
It's very interesting. Tony, sorry for widening the conversation out, but I wasn't going to let him back to Sligo without us asking a few additional questions. And we'll chat to you again. Throughout the morning. Again, thanks for that, Frank. But isn't it great to be able to be here? The sun is shining, the tables are out. You need to get down here if you're in and around Carndonagh, don't you? Because, you know, this is a major development for the people whose shoulders we stand on, older people in this area, to have an outlet for themselves, to socialise, to be entertained, etc., Tony.
Absolutely, Greg. And, you know, we see today as being the end of the beginning. We're working with Frank and his team that we have a permanent home for daycare services again. back in the hospital complex. That's a longer term plan that we're working with Frank on, and we continue to work with Frank and his team on that. When we met with Mary Butler last May, 12 months ago it is now, Frank and Minister Butler gave a commitment at that stage to work with us on a bi-monthly basis, so that we would meet up on a bi-monthly basis. And, you know, the HSE and Frank have been true to the word. We've met pretty much every 2 months, and we'll continue to do that. And we, you know, we're here to support the HSE. We understand that the HSE, we understand the HSE better than we did in relation to the constraints that they work under. And I think the HSE understand better the requirements for daycare services now in North Inishowen and Carndonagh. By the way, just to let you know, Carndonagh, I was looking up the last census. Carndonagh actually is the fourth highest population centre in Donegal, 2,700 and something people, roughly the same as Donegal Town and Ballyshannon. They're just a little bit behind. So they're, you know, so it's a big rural community up here in North Inishowen, and maybe we've got a wee bit of something on our shoulder, if you like, that we think we don't get what we deserve. But we're delighted to have everybody here this morning, and as we said at the start of it, it's a day of celebration, and I hope everybody enjoys the music. People are starting to come in here.
What
have we
got?
This morning.
What's coming up?
So what we have is we've got some fantastic local talent around this area. I'm going to shamelessly say
he's proud to be from Carndonagh, Tony.
Just
oh, Frank, sorry.
Just a wee bit.
He sounds a little bit proud, doesn't he?
Just a wee bit. So we've got the Carndonagh choir are coming, and we're going to be playing. You know, we've a couple of gazebos out the front here, and they'll be playing. They're going to come in and play with you as well. We've got the Carndonagh brass band. We've got the Henry Girls are coming in as well. And I think we have a couple of other wee surprises there as well.
Yeah, Caroline Orr is going to be singing for us. I'm very excited about. Yeah. All right, brilliant stuff. Listen, we'll chat to you, I'm sure, before the morning is out. Frank Morrison, you're very welcome. I know you're familiar with Donegal because this is part of your area as well. We appreciate you coming up. Thank you for bringing us some good news. We're not in a trial period anymore, and who is to say additional days might be provided here if the demand continues to increase, and we hope it does. So if you want to know what this is about, let me put it to you like this. Why don't you bring that person close to you down to us today? Have a look about, see the facilities, see what's going on. You won't get a better day for it. The sun is shining, the gazebos are out, the kettle's boiling, and you'd be more than welcome to come down here. It's a really open and friendly environment. But for now, Frank Morrison, Head of Older Persons HSE, thank you very much indeed. Tony Doherty, Chair of the Restoration Carndonagh Daycare Services Committee, might need a new name at this stage. Thank you very much for that. Okay, we're back. Sorry, I was slightly distracted there looking out the window at beautiful Carndonagh here. You're very welcome back to the Michael Noon Show here on Highland Radio. Just to remind you of our contact details, 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. And just to remind you, you can watch all of today's show, as you can every day, on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland, which means you can hook in if you're home on your big TV or your Fire Stick. We're on Facebook, and we're on the X platform as well. So it takes a lot of effort, a lot of people, to achieve a goal like was achieved here. Just to remind you, the services close here in Carndonagh in 2020, around the time of COVID. But they're back open again now. The day services operate on Mondays and Tuesdays from 10 a.m. Until 3:30 p.m. Catering at the moment for up to 20 people, but they want that number to grow, so get down here. There's activities daily on Mondays and Tuesdays, music, dancing, card playing, poetry, chair exercises. It has it all. So as I say, we spoke to Tony there, who I think kind of got the ball rolling calling that public meeting on our show in October of 23. Councillor Albert Doherty is among the local public representatives that have worked with the committee to make days like today possible. Good morning to you, Albert. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning to you, and welcome to Carndonagh.
You've been plugging away on this one too, haven't you?
Yeah, I've plugged. As I saw the enjoyment that was taken out of daycare provision pre-COVID, the isolation of COVID, and the restoration process that was begun when COVID ended. And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to restore a service that was previously enjoyed by many. And Tony and Frank had some very welcome news this morning, Greg, and that was down to a concerted effort by many people in many places to bring the service back.
And we're out of the trial period now. And they're pursuing the potential to expand the services. It's a great day. That's news that was released here for the first time, so it's brilliant stuff.
It's news. I heard it at home. It's a godsend. It allows us to sustain what we're delivering presently and, of course, to build and to provide for our community who went through a tough time, but now we want to ensure that they enjoy the comfort, company and crack that they find.
And whilst we're talking about Carnton, and why wouldn't we, this is a story that echoes around the entire county. There are wonderful services similar to this operating all over the northwest, and I think we should be encouraging not just new people to come to these services, but to check out the services in your area. It's a wonderful, beautiful, welcoming place here, isn't it? And I'd be more than happy to while away a couple of hours.
It is a wonderful location, and we have to say thank you to those in Spree who played a crucial part, to the owner of the properties here. And if we can share a message that encourages other groups as well and encourages other areas, you know, let's listen in and learn from it, because Tony talked this morning about how one lady said the best day of her life. Mm. Those sort of stories have been shared with us over the last short 6 weeks. To have the trial period lifted, Greg, is a delight.
Yeah, and credit where it is due, as I say. We have a go at the HSC when it needs doing, but we also have to praise departments when they work. And fair play to Frank Morrison, head of Older Person Services with the HSC coming up. And also to answering some interesting questions about, you know, bed provision, home help packages, hours and all that type of stuff. They are constrained in their budgets. There's no doubt about that. Unfortunately, it's the same with the acute hospital. Massive deficits every single year, 19 million one year, 10 million another. There's a serious issue with investment in our health services. And, you know, to some extent, we have to be fair and say locally, some of the HSE staff's hands are being tied by decisions that are made in Galway. But I'm starting to realise now most of these decisions actually are being made in Dublin.
Yeah, last night I attended a meeting where we talked about the government's 10-year plan, capital plan, in relation to mental health. And locally here, there are plans to develop at Rerik na Sleifte mental health provision for the peninsula. And these are local issues being highlighted by local people, but there is a requirement from central government to respond positively. And that's a goal that we all must put our shoulder behind.
Well done, Greg, for your role in getting these services back up and running again. Councillor Albert Doherty, thank you very much indeed. And people are continuing to land in here. We're the visitors here, of course. Many people coming here every Monday and Tuesday. But if you are in and around Carntona, come down, say hello to us, but also come down for the live music. There's a brass band playing, there's tea, there's coffee, there's lovely seating indoors and outdoors. Okay, we're going to be getting some reaction to that deal between the UK and Europe from a fishing perspective after these. We are joined on the programme now by E. O'Donnell, CEO of the Irish Fish Producers Organisation. E, thank you so much for joining us. The papers are saying today that the government seems quite happy with this deal. 12 more years of us being able to fish in UK waters, but I imagine it's more complex than that.
Yeah, it's much more complex than that, certainly for fishing communities. And certainly for Donegal and the Kennebecs particularly, we have a mixed bag of a situation. We've got long-term certainty, certainly in relation to access to fishing in the UK waters. But we haven't addressed the issue of the level playing field in that Ireland, in the existing agreement, which has been rolled over, has paid such a high price as part of the Brexit TCA.
So rather than it being an opportunity to improve the situation for Ireland, we've kind of locked ourselves in to 2038, it would seem.
Absolutely. It's a 12-year deal. we've locked ourselves in. Ireland paid 40% of the total value of the contribution of quotas to the UK as part of the Brexit deal. This is locked in now. There seems to be no way back, and we really have to fight with Europe at this stage on an internal basis to try and rectify the situation going forward. We need a rebalancing of the injustice of the original deal in 2020.
Right, so 40% of the value of quotas have been transferred to the UK. Why are we doing such heavy lifting in relation to that? Why 40% from Ireland when you have effectively landlocked nations with better quotas than us?
Absolutely. The question is very relevant. It's very pertinent. It's basically a political arrangement that was struck in the time of Barnier with the UK in 2020. Ireland effectively was thrown under the bus. Other nations resisted giving up long-standing rights and quotas. And even most recently, the French were very clear in pointing out that they were fighting for their share of the access to the UK waters. They weren't going to concede 1 kilo of fish. So we've been sacrificed in 2020. That situation remains unchanged.
Were we present at the negotiating table? And when I say we, I mean, do we know what representations, if any, were made on behalf of Ireland as this deal was being brokered? Surely the state would have known that the industry thinks this 40% is unfair, and whilst you're negotiating a deal, maybe now is the time for a better deal for Ireland. So how strongly were we represented, do you know, specifically Ireland, that is, not the EU, during these negotiations?
Well, it's really important to understand that the competence or the responsibility for negotiating trade deals such as this lies with the European Commission. It's a European matter. We're represented and defended by them. We're one voice at the table, and we have to fight very hard to achieve what we want. Ireland has a tradition of being rolled over in these instances, and you know, we really need to raise our representation and our voice at the European level to defend our interests.
What do we do next, or what can be or needs to be done next?
We really need to take the case to Europe. We've got to fight for a rebalancing, make sure that other member states carry the burden equally. There needs to be a form of burden sharing going forward. This is a 12-year deal. Killybegs particularly sacrificed 26% of its mackerel quota. Ireland as a nation sacrificed 15% of its prawn quota. This is disproportionate. This is unjust. This is unfair.
And we can actually estimate how much this is going to cost us. And when I say us, the industry, in the bigger scale of things, maybe the fishing industry isn't the biggest industry that we have here in this country. But when you roll up the amount potentially could be lost to that sector over 12 years, the numbers are really, really huge.
They're startling. It's estimated that in 2025, the value of the transfer from Ireland was about 40 million. If you look at that over 12 years, it's approaching $500 million of value of quotas transferred from Ireland to the UK. We couldn't afford this in the first instance, and it's something that's biting home hard with our coastal communities in relation to employment, in relation to work, in relation to the vessels being tied to the pier when other nations are fishing in our waters. So it's something that needs to be taken to task.
All right, E, thanks very much for your time. E. O'Donnell there.